Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Oh, not much. Just living life.
Cool. And we got our other co-host on the line, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
I'm fine, goddammit.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad you're fine.
My phone's screwing with me. I'm trying to download the new Angry Birds update, but it won't do it. Wait, never mind. There we go. Okay.
Is there a new Angry Birds update for which game?
Seasons. They just brought out the Halloween episode for 2011.
Oh, awesome. Can't wait to download that. So, anyway.
I'll check my links.
Plus, I'm upset about the Bears and the Lions that got killed.
In Ohio?
Yes. I'm very upset. That was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I heard like some brief mention on a commercial for the news, but I didn't actually see the whole thing. What exactly happened, if you don't mind telling the story?
I guess he had like a compound or something, and he had raised, what did he have? He had like fully grown like lions and tigers.
And bears, stuff. Oh my.
And bears, oh my. And... I don't really know the whole story, but he decided he's going to let them loose in a city in Ohio.
And so he let them loose, and then he killed himself.
And they had all these reports, people seeing these lions and tigers all over the town, and, you know, no, you can't exactly call animal. I mean, there was like, how many of them was it, Craig?
I can't remember the number, but it was a lot. It was a menagerie of animals.
Yeah, and so you can't exactly just call like animal control, like people that come get the kitty cat out of the tree, and people like that. So, you know, the police, they didn't have no choice. They had to put them all down.
Yeah.
Wow.
They killed all of them. Terrible.
Wow. You think they?
Well, Jack Hanna, he was in tears on the news.
I bet you think, well, I mean, in one way, it's like you think they could wait for some tranquilizer darts, but at the same time, what if little Joe Smoke, little Johnny, what if little Johnny goes walking down the street and gets eaten by a tiger, you know? I mean, I can kind of understand,
deal
but
with...
at the same time, it's like it is a big shame.
Yeah, at that point, you don't have really any other choice if you're the cops or somebody like that. You just gotta kill them.
Yeah, but it's... Like I say, unfortunately, that is pretty fucked up, though.
Yeah. Maybe somebody can sell some rugs for Christmas, though, you know? A lot of pelts out there.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll cost pretty pennies. But anyway, let's go ahead and change the subject to a little happier subject. So I guess I guess you want to go ahead and start with the news already, or what do you guys want to do?
Yeah, let's start with the news. Let me pull it up right here on my computer.
You're not prepared, Craig. What's going on?
I've got it prepared. I just didn't have it on the right page. Depending on what you wanted to talk about. So what do we want to talk about first? We want to talk about the average TNA pay-per-view, or actually above average for TNA pay-per-view, or the AWE pay-per-view, or...
Oh, shit, no. I just put that on there so I could shit on their pay-per-view that I watched last Saturday. Let's start with that. I watched this pay-per-view last Saturday. I think me and Dave contributed like maybe 85% of the buy rate to this show. It was horrible. The Midnight Express and the Mokies did not wrestle. I felt ripped off. Yes, I know it's the Midnight Express and the Mokies in 2011, but damn it, I was looking forward to it. I'm a mark for shit like that. So, actually, probably the match that got the best reaction on the whole show was Muhammad Akbar against Hacksaw Jim Duggan. It's just a typical, you know, evil heel going up against Hacksaw. Hacksaw wins and stuff like that. And they had the main event. It was the Rock and Roll Express against Kevin Nash and a mystery partner. Mystery partner turns out to be Diamond Dallas Page. He comes out. So they start out for about a minute or so with him, with DDP and Robert Gibson in. And then the promoter comes out and says, I talked to both Kevin Nash and Ricky Morton in the back, and we want to change this match to a singles match.
Well, hold on, Douglas, before you go on, how fat was Robert Gibson looking?
He was, I will say, at least, you know, Ricky Morton looked worse because he still got that hairstyle in 2011. Jesus Christ. Robert Gibson was pretty fat, but he had, you know, your basic rundown wrestler hairstyle for, you know, 2011, you know, just kind of going bald and stuff like that. And Ricky Morton, he just looked terrible. And so he throws out the mystery partner, the partners. So you build up this mystery partner. When you announce the mystery partner, you throw the mystery partner out. I'd never seen that one before. So then they change it to a no disqualification, anything goes fight with Nash and Morton. And they're having this terrible match. CM Punk should be thankful he didn't have to wrestle Kevin Nash. I'll say that right now. And Morton juices, and he's bleeding. And then all of a sudden, Kevin Nash gets the microphone and says, hey, Ricky, I don't understand. Why do you hate me so much? I figured they had this figured out before they got to the match. After cutting all these promos, but I guess he didn't. I don't know what the deal was. So Morton does this spirited promo about how he was raised in the wrestling business and he loves it. And Nash is just a prick that's in it for nothing but the money. And then Nash says, do you think I'd be at a show like this if I was in it for the money? You think I want to spend time away from my wife and kid? He said, we got no problems. I love it just as much as you do. And then they shake hands. Then, of course, Nash nails him, gives him the jackknife powerbomb. Nash walks out and gets counted out, and there's no disqualification, anything, goes street fight. And Ricky Morton wins. Pure shit.
That's good.
And what was George South and Baby Doll and everyone else?
Oh, this was the best part. Baby Doll, George South, Tully Blanchard, who else? Ivan Koloff, Lita. They were all there. They just didn't put them on the show. You know, Dave was actually kind of pissed off, and he said, I'm not promoting anything from them again. You know, it's kind of the first time I've ever heard Dave say something like that. So.
Yeah, this shit that, you know, usually Dave doesn't like them.
He's
a little more
politically
correct when saying stuff like that. But, I don't understand why they didn't put him on TV. Have Baby Doll walk somebody out. Have Lita walk somebody out.
Oh, in the first match.
Have Koloff make a run in an Hacksaw Jim Duggan match. Or, you know what I mean? Why?
And it's even more ridiculous because the show went, they had a big gap to fill. Because in the first match, you had Tommy Dreamer against Terry Funk. Tommy Dreamer rolls Terry Funk up, and the referee counts three on accident when they got like 8 more minutes to go in the fucking match. The match ends early, 8 minutes early.
What was the quote-unquote finish?
I don't know. I just know it was supposed to go about like 8 minutes more.
No, I mean, what was the big move that the ref counted the pinfall on?
A small package.
I see.
And so they had all this time to fill. And so then they got to, I think, Jamie Silva with Sonny against Fit Finley. And they did this knee injury angle. And this was like the most boring Fit Finley match I've ever seen in my life. Just boring as shit. But he's selling his knee for like, this went 25 minutes, this match, and it was just boring as hell. And the only really, really good match was Jamin Olavincia from OVW beat Sanjay Dutt, and that was the best match on the show. Otherwise, it was a pile of shit.
What did Perry Saturn look like?
Shit.
I see.
he was overweight, and, you know, as most wrestlers on these legend shows are, he wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm. Was he doing the crazy gimmick or something?
He was kind of doing that.
He didn't have like
open
hard
while you
Moppy version
trying to do a dive or something like that.
Yeah, sounds like a hell of a show.
And the second best match on the show was I got to see Short Sleeve Samson from Micro Championship Wrestling. He beat this black guy called Abo Shango. So it was a midget match. It was pretty entertaining. It's hard for a midget match to be bad.
Honestly, every time they used to, like, back when you used to just go to World Class shows or Southwest, they were always awesome. I mean, Little Tokyo and Cowboy Lang or Little Tokyo and whoever or Little Brook, they always have entertaining matches, you know what I mean? It's just, I know Craig Snicker and he's like, oh, midget match, like it could be good at all. But no, you can't have them every week, but I've never not been entertained by a midget in wrestling.
Now, you had the typical spot where, the baby face is on top. He kicks out of the river. He catches him in his arms and then puts him back on top, and they do that like three times.
Right. See, stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But that was a good show. I don't expect this will be this company will have another pay-per-view. I don't even know why they had this one, but whatever.
Most
people didn't get paid.
Whatever, if any profits they're going to make, they have to pay out to the wrestlers who weren't getting there and put on the pay-per-view. They pay for, Baby Doll and all of them.
What's even more is to run in a live pay-per-view like that, going over there live. That's why you saw, like people do tape pay-per-views and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I wonder, now with all the trouble he keeps getting in, it seems like every year he makes one or two trips to the big house. Do you think that the promoter actually paid Ricky Morton, or do you think it all goes to his child support?
I don't know. If Nash was there, I bet you Nash got paid. He got paid up front before he even agreed to do it, probably.
He probably got half before he left the house.
You got to imagine he's at the very least making $500 at the very least. He might be making more. And
Sonny's
at least making $500. I mean, you got they paid out a lot of money for these guys, and I don't think they're going to get their returns.
People like Ricky Morton, this is all he knows how to do. Yeah. I mean, he'll tell you himself, he still does all these independent dates, and I don't know, it's something like when the teen idols, when they get old and gray and they're still out there and they're in their Rock and Roll Express outfits at 50 years old doing that. Just was terrible.
Yeah, I was talking to Lugano last week, and he was telling me that ROH was looking to possibly bring in Melina. You know what her price tag is for a shot?
$5,000?
Three grand.
$3,000.
Three? Wow.
Yeah. And Lugano, Dave said, there's porn stars that will come in an F for $1,500. So, anyway, moving on, another pay-per-view that happened last Sunday was Bound for Glory, and here are the results. Mexican America defeated Ink Inc. on the pre-show that was on Facebook to retain their world titles. In an awesome match, Austin Aries defeated Brian Kendrick with a brainbuster to retain the X Division championship. Rob Van Dam defeated Jerry Lynn in a Full Metal Mayhem match. I heard it was pretty brutal. I didn't actually see that. I just got to catch the first match
honestly. Samoa Joe still on the losing path. Crimson defeated Samoa Joe and Matt Morgan in a triple threat match.
So losing a triple threat match makes you the number one contender?
Yeah, that next week, I think, as a matter of fact. Mr. Anderson defeated Bully Ray in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Anderson went for a senton, went to senton Ray through a table, but the table didn't break, and Anderson then hit the mic check through the table for the win. Apparently,
stupid that mic check looks going through a table. Could you, like, you're the
right
one to go down first. That's the stupidest move.
Yeah. They had a segment backstage with Jackson James and Eric Bischoff. They finally revealed that they were father and son. Velvet Sky defeated Mickey James, Winner, and Madison Rayne to win the Knockouts title.
I got sure was a five-star bet.
I heard it was minus five stars, but yes. AJ Styles defeated Daniels in an I Quit match.
Terrible.
Too soon. Too soon on an I Quit match, by the way. Jeff Jarrett came to the ring. He called out Jeff Hardy, saying that nobody wanted him in TNA, and since he brought him in, he could take him out. Hardy came out and was almost immediately the two brawled. Security and front office staff separated the two. The fans were very into this segment because they chanted D-Lo, D-Lo.
They did it.
Yeah. By the way, the show last night, D-Lo was out there, and they were into D-Lo, and it looks like they might be building to an Al Snow and D-Lo match.
It looked like they were doing something like maybe like either D-Lo or Al Snow. One of them didn't want Jeff Hardy there, and they were arguing over that or something like that. I don't know what the deal was.
By the way, if you want a good laugh, Al Snow has the best Facebook posts ever. I know he's not welcome on the show.
I prefer not to go there.
But his Facebook posts are amazing. So
yeah, I saw that pandering you were doing on his wall the other day, Craig.
I do a lot of cutting and pasting from Al Snow because he's a funny man. So the one he posted yesterday was, I saw this very attractive girl. I went up to her and I said, did it hurt when you fell from heaven? And she slapped me and hobbled away on her crutches. Okay. Next match was Sting defeating Hulk Hogan to retain control of TNA. Apparently, this was a great match.
It was a great spectacle.
There you go. Thank you. Matt,
stars,
great match.
Like,
okay, two-star match, five-star spectacle.
That was tremendous. I loved it. This is the best thing on the show.
Immediately after the opening bell, Ric Flair came out to join Hogan in battling Sting. Sting eventually won with a scorpion on a bloody Hulk Hogan. After the match, Immortal came out and attacked Sting. Bischoff was going to hit Sting with a chair, but his son, Jackson James, stopped him, only to be taken out. Eventually, Hulk Hogan helped out Sting to a massive pop, laying out the different members of Immortal. Hogan and Sting shook hands, and the segment ended.
Now, if I've got to see any more shots of Dixie Carter ringside showing emotion, I might vomit. She's horrible.
Yeah, she's no good.
Yeah, but she's wet hot fucking milk, dude.
Well, that's well and good.
But I need to ask Craig a question.
I need to ask Craig
a question real quick here. Because
here we go.
Contreras just made a comment about how awesome and how it was the best thing on the show, and you kind of no-sold him. And I need to ask you, Craig, what did you think was the best thing on the show?
Oh, easily. I didn't see the whole show, so I can't really give you an honest answer, but from what I've heard and what the one match I saw was the Austin Aries Brian Kendrick show match.
See, how did I know you were going to say that? I knew you were going to say that. You know, you've been hanging out with Brian too much just because, I mean, Aries is awesome and everything, and I'm sure it was a good match, but there's no way in hell it was better than Hulk Hogan being Hulk Hogan.
He only saw that match. I only saw that match, Ed. I told you that. That was a great
match.
But still,
even just hearing it be described, you should still, in your head, be able to visualize how awesome it was and know that it was more awesome. It's
in the main event, Kurt Angle defeated Bobby Roode.
Didn't you write something about Hulk Hogan in your book, and you betrayed the man all these years later?
What are you talking about? I never said anything bad about Hulk Hogan. He's tremendous still.
Okay.
I watched it last night, and I was a little kid on the couch marking out for Hulk Hogan. He's back in the red and yellow, brother.
Cool.
Okay, continue. So in the main event, Kurt Angle defeated Bobby Roode to retain the World Heavyweight title. It was a great back-and-forth match. The conclusion came when Angle hit his Angle Slam. Angle was using the ropes for leverage, and Roode's arm was underneath the bottom rope, which the referee didn't see. This leads to our next story. Hogan changes the finish of the Bound for Glory main event, and James Storm wins the title at the TNA tapings. The original plan for the pay-per-view was for Bobby Roode to defeat Kurt Angle for the TNA championship to close the pay-per-view. The story going around was that Sunday afternoon, Hulk Hogan lobbied to have the finish changed, feeling Roode wasn't ready for a run with the title. Hogwash. Between that and him insulting AJ Styles on Twitter for the last few days, there was a lot of resentment towards Hogan among the longtime members of the roster. The resentment was especially high because Hogan was ripping on Styles on Twitter when everyone knew Styles had missed the TNA fan interaction event due to a death in the family. In response to various people complaining about the main event, Hogan wrote on Twitter, "Okay, cool out. It's just the beginning of something really big, brother. Keep watching, and you'll finally figure out our big plans for the Canadian. Don't be a mark. Keep watching. You'll figure it out." Then at the TNA tapings on Tuesday, they did an angle that ended up with James Storm winning the title, which aired last night. He beat Kurt Angle in 90 seconds after hitting one maneuver. The belief by many in TNA is that Hogan got the finish of the Bound for Glory main event changed because how negative people were when Roode didn't win it. Well, duh. I was really surprised when I didn't, you know, catch the results, and I was surprised that Angle had held on to the title. Excuse me. I was even more surprised to find out that Angle was actually hurt.
Yeah.
You're surprised that Kurt Angle was hurt in wrestling matches while he was hurt? I mean, I think he's done that every match for the past 10 years.
Okay, please don't crap on my point. No, it wasn't that. It was the simple fact that Angle was hurt and that he was going to retain the title. If he's going to have to take some time off, even if it's only a couple of weeks for a hamstring injury, there's no reason why he should have had the title for another week, which means that was even more dumb for them to not put Roode over in the main event.
Yeah, because they got 15 good minutes at Angle in the pay-per-view, so... And then
he had to drop the title in 90 seconds to James Storm.
Which doesn't help James Storm much, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, winning like that, I mean, a guy like James Storm, it's one thing when the Ultimate Warrior hits the ring in 30 seconds and beats the Honky Tonk Man for the Intercontinental title. It kind of fits the Ultimate Warrior. But James Storm like, needs a little bit of a longer match to, you know, be a little bit more, look a little bit more credible against Kurt Angle. I mean,
I think the show that they put on after the match was enough to make up for the lack there of the match and still make it look like it was a big deal. So,
yeah, I mean, it was a great thing after the match and all that. I just mean, he just took a few punches and then he hit a super kick out of nowhere. It just looked like, okay, this guy's hurt. They're taking the strap off of him. You know, they gotta do this quick pinfall. So that's how it felt for me.
Regarding this whole situation, I have two things to say. First thing is they when you built for that long, and that was your plan, they should have stuck with the plan. I mean, really, they should have done that. But my other point is, Hulk Hogan's entirely right. James Storm is the one that should be carrying the company for the future, not Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode's awesome, but he's not going to carry the company, and he's going to end up being a flop because he just doesn't have the personality to be a main eventer. And that's
I disagree with that. I think he does have what it takes to be a main eventer.
Not more than James Storm.
Not to mention, if you actually, the title actually meant something last week.
Yeah.
It meant something last week, and to
it meant something
to,
at the end
to
of
build
the
up, to build up guys that don't have quote unquote it. Sometimes they need the title to get the
get over the hump.
Yeah, and that I think that would have skyrocketed him. You know, the vignettes they had with his old man and his mom and stuff like that. That was amazing stuff. You know that, oh, Bobby Roode's got a family, and oh, look at him and his kids, and you know this, and then, and you know, show him training, and he was ready, and having that title would have got him over the mountain and over the hump, and he would have been a huge star come the tapings on Tuesday.
It kind of reminded me back in like 1996 when they built up for all those weeks, Shawn Michaels going after the boyhood dream at WrestleMania that year against Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And like if they would have had Shawn lose that match, I don't think it would have made him look like a geek. And
yeah,
just to build Bobby Roode up like that and then have him lose, it just made him look like a failure.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to eventually win the title from James Storm, which will be an amazing match. But all you did is you delayed the inevitable, you know, a few weeks.
And I would have, if anything, Robert Roode, he's going to be better as a, I think he'd be better as a run as a heel on top. And I think that would have been better, like James Storm chasing Robert Roode as champion instead of the other way around.
Yeah, I got you there. I mean, they had a match a couple of weeks ago on Impact, you know, Storm and Roode, and it was a good match. But, you know, what are they going to do to turn James Storm heel by the time Bobby Roode faces him? You know,
they are. The only thing they're going to be a straight-up friend.
It'll be the one match for friends
to turn on each other. They're going to be friendly throughout the whole thing.
I don't know. I feel like it's going to be like the Christian thing where you get so frustrated or something like that.
Maybe so. Another pay-per-view is in our news, and it is going to be airing this Sunday. It's WWE's Vengeance. And actually, the lineup looks pretty good, I think. We have the WWE Tag Team title match with Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne versus Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger.
Well, hold on. Okay, they announced that on Raw, and of course they announced something else on SmackDown, or that's what they filmed on SmackDown. Did they actually show it?
I can answer this question for you because I actually watched the first hour of SmackDown.
Okay.
They also announced Dolph Ziggler is going to wrestle Zack Ryder for the U.S. title. So he's actually going to be working twice.
Oh, really?
Yes. Vicky Guerrero threw a fit when that was announced.
He loses one title and probably wins another one.
Or he wins and then loses his title.
Hard to say.
I'd have him lose the title first and then go into the tag match and win.
Yes.
So kind of come from behind.
Absolutely. That's if you're going to
keep
him.
But he's a heel.
Keep any kind of momentum on him, you're going to have to do it like that.
I don't know, because I can see him and Swagger winning the titles and then cheering and then Zach come running in and hit the fucking leg or whatever and pinning him real fast and winning.
Yeah.
That way
yeah,
he looks like a geek.
Yeah, but if he gets the pin on Evan Bourne later in the tag team match, the marks will forget a little bit. we have a Divas title match. This should be a barn burner. Beth Phoenix versus Eve Torres.
It'll be a 5-star match like always.
Bathroom break.
We also have probably the best match on this show. It's probably going to be Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, and I can tell you who's going to win just looking at this, not for the title.
Yeah, probably. CM Punk and Triple H versus Miz and R-Truth. I think this will actually be very good.
I'm sure it'll be It'll be a squash. Except when CM Punk's in the ring, then it'll be even. But when Triple H is in the ring, it's going to be like it was Triple H versus the Spirit Squad.
CM Punk on Monday Night Raw this week, he looked tremendous. I don't say that a lot about CM Punk. He looked really good this week. He had his working shoes on in Mexico.
I think I was reading in the Observer, and he's like, he's getting like first class airfare now, and he bought himself a bus. So.
Yep.
So
yep,
how much
he's going to be traveling? They need him. In the
did you see the TLC?
World?
Did you see the TLC pay-per-view poster?
I did not.
It's got CM Punk eating an ice cream bar on the front of it, and the ice cream bar says TLC.
Wow.
That's awful
creative. WWE World Title Match, Mark Henry versus Big Show.
Mark Henry.
I'm pretty sure. And the for the WWE title, sorry, I sometimes get the world title and the WWE title mixed up. Last man standing match for the WWE title, Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena. Excuse me.
Alberto's going to win that because Cena didn't have to be pinned to lose.
That's right. I never thought of that.
I'm offended by your racist comment there, Craig. Who do you think you are? Bobby Heenan?
I didn't do that.
That
doesn't
sound like a Bobby Heenan line.
That was a Freudian slip, but that was a good one.
It's like
Alberto,
what used to call Tito Santana's flying four on El Paso de Salsa or something like that.
Yeah, we have one left.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we have one last news story, but go ahead and speak.
Well, of course you'd want to move on when you know that I'm attending this pay-per-view live and can give, you know, some added insight to it, you know. It is going to be a good show. There's nothing blow away on it whatsoever at all.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it'll be a good show. So I'm very much looking forward to it, you know.
They need a good show.
Mm-hmm.
Last couple weeks. I think they totally wasted the show this week. That was terrible, I thought.
I didn't think the TV was as bad as last week's, obviously, but it was. I thought it was fine. I didn't think anything.
I thought it
would blow away.
Start to have the American announcers feuding in a match in Mexico on TV. That's just stupid.
Right.
It's even more stupid that they fired half the Spanish announce team fucking like the day after the fucking tour.
Yeah, Hugo got fired.
Did you also read in the Observer that they wanted to break the English speaking announce table on this show for Mexico?
Yeah, instead of the Spanish one, which is like revenge
right.
in home country or something like that. I don't know. It's just the biggest thing that I thought the Mexico thing could have been so much more since it was their first time doing TV there. I was just disappointed.
A little bit.
And I don't need to see Jim Ross, Russell. To me, that's
still
making fun of the guy, you know. Let's get this slob in the ring and see what he can do and screw with him some more. Terrible.
At least you let him win.
Yeah, at least you let him win.
So we have a date set for Mick Foley's return to the WWE. Mick Foley is being advertised for the November 14th edition of Raw in Boston, a three-hour show that will also be the next appearance of The Rock and the go-home show for the Survivor Series. The build for Survivor Series and Rock's return will start this Monday on Raw.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Should be next month or so. Should be pretty good, I think.
I think so as well.
Maybe put Foley on commentary. Get rid of Booker T and put Mick Foley on commentary.
I like Booker T, man. He makes me giggle.
Well.
He makes you what?
Giggle. Laugh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he makes me giggle too, but he's also black, and that's minus points in my book.
Jeez.
Kidding.
Rodney, I'm sorry for all of white America. I appreciate you, and be strong, my brother.
Don't get that
what did he give Granny
on board to start yelling at me.
Katrina, you remember everything. What did he give Granny as a gift?
I know what it was.
Why
don't you Facebook me the answer?
I know what it was.
Soup through a straw.
And Granny's wrong because I've seen them here. So should I sabotage the whole contest and let it out right now?
I don't know. I'm almost tempted to say yes because you know I really want this DOA T-shirt.
Yeah. I'll pick you up one the next time I'm down there.
Yeah, I want to see Granny Rand in a DOA T-shirt. That sounds funny.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
I'll give our listeners a hint. It involves a small child.
What?
Yeah.
It involves a small child. And it was somewhat edible. You're making it sound very lewd, right?
No, it's not lewd at all. It just involves a small child. There's your hint.
I'm more baffled than ever now.
I don't know what to say to that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a stupid contest, to be honest.
Just write it down and you'll understand. So, this wasn't involved in our news, but ESPN had a special on one Scott Hall this week, and I saw it. Did you guys see it?
That was like one of the saddest things I've ever seen on wrestling, on a person, you know, something like that. That was really sad. He's in now. I mean, at the end of it, it's horrible to say, but at the end of it, I said, you know, if this guy died, it might be the best thing for him at this point. He's just death walking.
Yeah, he looks like he's just pretty much death walking. I mean, he looks horrible, dude. He's like not even a shell of a shell of what he used to be. I mean, he's still huge as far as like, you know, he's a big dude, tall and everything, but it's weird. He's big, but at the same time, he looks like he's about to break. You know, I mean, he looks so fragile.
Very frail.
It's very hair thinning, and his face looks so old, and I mean, X-Pac.
I've never heard a story about him killing the guy before. I think that's the first time that's come out.
That's the first time I've heard about it.
Yeah, I never heard of that story either.
And if I saw Scott Hall like in 1983, I would not be bashing the windows of his car in. That fucker was big.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit, dude. He was huge when he fucking first broke in. I mean, he was bigger when he first broke in than he was when he was Razor Ramon.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, I think maybe he looked smaller when he shaved that big-ass mustache. I don't know. Anyway.
Hiding behind it.
Yeah. I was, they showed that footage from that independent show. I was fucking appalled that they let him go out there like that.
I know. They basically had to carry him out there and stuff. And
if you were to promote that, I don't care how many people showed up to see Scott Hall. I'd say he's sick. He can't come out. I'm sorry. I mean, it kind of pissed me off, not as a wrestling fan, but just as a fucking human being, to let the guy go out like that. I mean, he looked like a mentally handicapped child or something in that ring when he was talking on that microphone.
You know, he's probably, I mean, like, well, and I guess it's, you know, you got to really look into it, but, you know, he was just coming from the hospital, so he was sick, but who's to say that the promoter didn't believe him that he was in the hospital being sick and just didn't think that he decided to, after, you know, asking for all his money, show up totally fucked up and just drugged out of his mind. So
I can't totally justify it, but I
could see him being like, you know, fuck this guy.
And then they did it. Well, then they interviewed the guy and he said, well, I met him once. He's not my friend. And we showed the world who Scott Hall really is. Here's a newsflash. Everybody knows who fucking Scott Hall is. They know his problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's like out in Bin Laden for being a terrorist. Give shit.
Yeah, but that whole incident basically would kind of spread the news and kind of got this whole ball in rolling. So, in the end, it might be if he does decide to go to rehab and actually get help this time, which is very, very doubtful. I mean, I couldn't have allowed
him to go out like that. That was worse than anything Jake Roberts has ever done.
pretty close to it. I mean, he was, damn, he looked like he was fucked up in that fucking thing.
And yeah, and they just showed the thing with his son and training his son, but apparently that didn't last too long because his son couldn't deal with his addiction and his, you know, just the way his dad was, and he's not going into the wrestling business now.
That's the best idea he's ever had.
I didn't think that
was
enough.
Yeah, I kind of said, oh, God, this kid's going to be in the wrestling business. This is not good.
Yeah, we know him from
a... kid can get passed down, you know, from parent to child and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, it was an awesome piece, though. The
oh,
show in general
know,
was awesome.
Dude.
Did you just take
dude,
a hit from
dude.
Your bone?
Yes, he did. He's such a doof.
When we're talking about Scott Hall and our concern for the man.
Yeah, well, I needed to take a hit. What can I say? I'm sorry. No. I have issues. I need to go to a WWE-sponsored rehab.
Well, you mean, this would be like Scott Hall's fourth time to go, isn't it?
Professionals here, folks. Professionals.
When I get paid to do the show, I will no longer do drugs during the show.
Dude,
but,
this is when the celebrity rehab, WWE celebrity rehab, would be great. Matt Hardy, Tomko, Scott Hall in there now.
And,
oh, the
you know,
wacky
Joe and
insanity.
Dick the Snake, Joe and Dick the Snake and Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine and Jimmy Snuka and... You know, you have a mix of young and the old. I mean, it's perfect. And then you got China and Ashley Massaro to take up the women's demographic. I mean, that's going to be the biggest hit they ever had if they did it.
Yeah, it was. Look, it's so sad that they're showing that, you know, they're showing, like, this, the highest point was probably the ladder match at WrestleMania 10. And it showed him what he looks like today. And I don't know, that was just... And I laughed at the PlayStation remark at the first of the, at the beginning of the thing.
Oh, what a crock of crap. Good God.
I bet the WWE probably told them they need to say that to, for them to get them, their footage or something like that.
Here's our footage. Now tell them we're good people.
I guarantee that was part of the deal. You know that had to be part of the deal. You think that they were going to totally let their footage be for something totally, totally negative? They had it in some way... The WWE had to come off as the total good guys, and that's what they did. They gave them their little video game line, and they let Stephanie basically tell her tale. I mean, basically, they jump for him, but they do it in a condescending way, which is kind of like, you know, you can tell they're not happy with the dude after having to do this for him, but they're still doing it for him.
Yeah, and she said, and when you were with the WWE family, you were with us for life or something like that, and I said, yeah, okay. And I don't blame her for saying that. If I was a wrestling promoter on TV doing this, I'd say the exact same thing, you know. So
they have to say it, dude. It's just, they have to. Whether people like it or not, they have to say shit like that.
Yeah.
And they're still paying for his fucking rehab. I mean, how many times do they, I mean, and
Dick,
you know, let's be honest,
the
part they're going to do it three or four more times for him probably.
Yeah. They're probably hoping he kicks so they can save the cash.
That over six figures they've dropped on him so far.
Yeah, we have enough seats, unfortunately.
I wonder if they send everybody to the same facility, or is this like different places depending on where they are in the country or something? I don't know.
I would imagine it's different, whatever's close to you.
I wouldn't say it's the same one, but I would imagine it's there's a few. There's a handful of them. I don't think they, you know, wherever you're at, I don't think, you know, let's say if someone lives in fucking bumfuck Idaho, I'm sure they're not going to bumfuck Idaho. We have, they're going somewhere else.
And going back to that indie show real quick, you got to be a fucking idiot to get Scott Hall on the show anyway. So you deserve what you get.
Yeah, there's some guys that you book, you have to expect shit like that. You know what I mean?
If you book Scott Hall, you just have a backup plan.
You know, same thing with, like, that Samoan benefit show, and they book the Sandman, and then they get the Sandman, they get mad at the Sandman for being the Sandman and being drunk. I mean, this is going to fucking be fucked up behind the scenes.
And that was so horrible, them doing spots with him in the rain. And he gave him the worst punch of all time, even though he did the little Razor Ramon thing where he spins around.
Oh my God, that was the slowest discus punch I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it took him like 30 seconds to turn around.
Could have timed him with a sundial.
If I'd have been at that show, I'd probably got up and left.
Yeah, I hear you.
It was just...
You think he signed autographs after the show?
Say what?
You think he signed autographs after the show?
Before
the end of the show.
And I thought it was funny. Eric Bischoff said, the wrestling business isn't killing him. The Scott Hall is killing himself, and which is true to, I think, a little bit more than the wrestling business. But for somebody with an addictive personality like his, it's not good to be in business like professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's too easy to get your hands on stuff. You're always on the road and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, it's just like wrestling or like being a rock star. They're not the kind of jobs you want to have if you have dependency problems.
Yeah.
Yep.
But,
sad.
I thought it was funny. They were playing the clip of Scott Hall in the AWA, and Hogan was talking about he was so charismatic and stuff. Scott Hall in the AWA had no charisma.
No.
He had a mustache. That was it.
Yeah, that was about it.
I mean, he had a cool-ass mustache, but that was it. Do you remember when he went to I guess it was still NWE at the time, and I think there were, like, consecutive Sundays where he kind of, like, jobbed out to Terry Funk.
Yeah. When he was Gator Scott Hall, they had the vignette of him catching the alligators in Florida or something like that.
I don't even remember that. Do you remember when he was a Starship?
Oh, yeah, that was like in 85, when him and Dan Spivey.
I remember seeing one match, I don't know, it was him against, I guess, some job or something, and I just remember the injury, it was Starship Coyote, I think it was Coyote.
American Starship Eagle and American Starship Coyote.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, I was like, because, you know, he was so physically impressive, I was like, damn, I mean, he kind of like made an impression in that one match, and then I didn't see him for like a long time, or I don't know how long it was, but then when he showed up for AWA when he's doing the McIntyre gimmick and stuff, but
yeah, I loved when he finally came to WWF with the Razor gimmick. They finally got that right. That was an awesome gimmick.
Yeah, he was awesome. Razor was fucking awesome.
I think he was kind of underrated as a worker, to be honest with you. Yeah, I thought he was tremendous.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was pretty good. Yeah, like he was in a lot of great opponents, but I mean he carried his own weight. I mean, he's in some, you know, everyone wants to talk about Shawn Michaels in the ladder match, but a lot of times it's like you forget that it was Shawn and Razor won the ladder match, you know.
Yeah, like I'll hear Ric Flair on one of those legend roundtables talking about that time Shawn had a great match with the ladder in Madison Square Garden. Like, come on, two people in that match. There's another person in that match doing just as much.
Yeah. But I guess, is that it for the news? So we can get on with the Hall of Fame?
That is it for the news. Stay tuned next week. By the way, if you want to check out that video, it's at espn.go.com. And just search down there in the search bar, type in Scott Hall, and you'll be able to see that. It's something you'd want to see, but I'm not going to go out and recommend it or anything. It's just
I recommend it. I thought it was excellent.
If you're an emotional person, you might not want to watch it. I'm not. It almost made me start crying at some points in there seeing him the way he was.
If you like Beyond the Mat and you can handle that kind of a thing like Beyond the Mat with the Jake the Snake, I highly, highly recommend it. It's actually, I thought it was very, very, very good.
I would ask Ed to go post a link in the on the board, but apparently you can't copy and paste anything.
Hold on, I'll take care of it. Jeez, the whiz. I got it.
Can you really not copy and paste anything, Ed?
No, I can't copy and paste anything on the board.
How do you put up the link for the show?
Well, it's not that I can't copy and paste. Anything from Angry Marks, I can't copy. Every time I would try and copy and paste the MP3 link for like 3 weeks in a row, it was like a broken link. Every time I did it, it didn't go anywhere.
Huh.
It's only that. That's the only thing. That's why I kind of asked you guys to start doing it, because I didn't want Stevie to get upset if we weren't posting
anything.
You know,
you could always type out that long link.
What?
You could always type that long link out.
Yeah, that's funny.
How would I trust you with that?
Yeah, we can't even trust him to do a show sober. Come on.
I happen to my computer sometimes when I'm trying to copy and paste something, and I don't know, sometimes something goes wrong, and I have to close my browser down or something. I don't know why it does that.
All right, it's up.
Anyway, Craig, did you get my text about what I wanted you to do with the Hall of Fame list?
Yeah.
Pick 10, if we were actually going to vote, how we picked the 10?
Yeah.
I haven't picked mine yet, but I got the list in front of me, so it ain't gonna take me. But I can do it as we go along. The percentages and all that was in there, but that's the only way I could paste all that. But I wasn't going back there and just deleting all the percentages and numbers. So that's why I just didn't have the time to do it. I'm sure there's only like maybe one of these people we can talk about, for people that made it this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea about Ken Walton. I really have not much of that idea about Curtis Iaukea.
Right.
Just when it doesn't concern the Dungeon of Doom, which I'm sure did not get him in the Hall of Fame. But Dr. Dusty Williams is. I don't know. It's weird because I don't know. It kind of feels like these guys just got voted in because they just passed away. But
That doesn't always happen.
But
sometimes dying doesn't help.
Dusty Williams, he deserves it most of all.
Okay. And well, the thing that kind of like you said, I don't know anything about Ken Waltman. I totally got to read the bio because I know absolutely nothing about him. And Curtis Iaukea, I remember reading about him a little bit in the early 80s and the Aftermags, and then, of course, the Dungeon of Doom stuff. But, from what Dave talked about on the show, he has a lot of credentials, but I don't know if I would have voted. I wouldn't have voted for him. And then Steve Williams is...
Hurry, my son! Get away from the stove! The real white finger tiger approaches the face!
Did you like that?
Thank you.
He know what? As bad as that stuff was, he was actually awesome. And
that stuff was funny.
Kind of looked like Abdullah the Butcher in a way, like across the street, Abdullah the Butcher and the Samoans.
He had the deep dig marks too in his head.
Yeah. But as far as like Steve Williams. I don't know. I mean, I love Dr. Death. I watched Dr. Death since Mid-South, and I know he had that big run in Japan, but I can't vote for him before I would vote for Dick Murdoch. I can't do it. So I wouldn't have voted for Dr. Death. I mean, it's kind of someone that I would seriously, had to think about, but I just can't see how to me, he's borderline. I just couldn't put him over the top.
The thing that bothered me, the discussion about why they should be voted in is, I kind of got the feeling with Dave, like a lot of it was financial. How much they drew and how much money and how long they stayed on top and things like that. And if that's the case, Steve, none of these guys. Maybe Iaukea in, like you said, in Hawaii, but not Dr. Death.
Hawaii, Australia, New Zealand, he drew money, whatever territory he went to.
But not Dr. Death. I mean, he had some amazing matches in Japan, when he was wrestling for All Japan, and just brutal, hard-style matches before, even before ROH was, doing the quote-unquote strong style.
In the U.S., he was just, I think it was mainly just, Mid-South and NWA?
UWF.
Yeah, that too. And you know, he was never really a big money. He wasn't one for the NWA, and I don't think he was a big money draw for UWF or anything at that point.
And in Japan, he was never the main eventer. You know, he was part of the show, but he was never a main eventer.
I just got the feeling that a lot of people, even our listeners and people on the websites and whatnot, I think the only thing they remember about Dr. Death is him getting knocked out by Bart Gunn.
Unfortunately, there's not a lot of young people, that's probably what they remember. But, you know, me and Couture remember him getting hit in the eye in the afternoon and getting like 300 stitches and wrestling later that night. So it kind of depends on what area you're from. That's a big thing. That's one thing that's going to keep a lot of people out of the Hall of Fame, is because, you know, a lot of the young people, the younger ones that, who have votes, they're not going to vote for guys like Koloff or Dick Murdoch, you know, guys who they didn't see, or if they did see, that was when they were 50 or something years old and were just, you know, basically old men. And, you know, it's just always going to, and then as the older generation starts dying off, I mean, you know, you're going to have less votes for them too, so it's going to get harder for, like, the older guys to get in. And then you're slowly going to have to change your criteria, because you can't go by on drawing power anymore, basically, because the only people who really draw are in the WWE, you know. How do you monitor, yeah, David Richards might have a few good shows for ROH, but what, I mean, can you really say 300-400 people is really drawing money, you know what I mean? So the Hall of Fame is going to be different in about 5 to 10 years. It's going to be very different as far as getting in and
guys like
in criteria.
On the list of nominees.
Yeah, totally. I mean, even Edge is, you know, he's one I would vote for, definitely. But Batista? That's just, I don't know, it's weird to have on that list.
Yeah.
Well, everyone gets on there for like a year or two, and then, you know, they slowly get knocked off. I mean, Batista didn't get 17, he's only, what is he, 7 percentage points from being dropped off totally, you know. So, you know, it's just, I mean, a lot of people are just going to, once they hit that age or been in the business for so long, they're going to get a spot. That doesn't mean that they're going to make it. I mean, many people that don't make it and just fall off the ballot. Sometimes there's a lot of people who fall off the ballot just after one appearance, you know, so.
Mm. Well, we've got WWE Hall of Fame, which is, like, absurdly easy to get into, and the Observer Hall of Fame that's, like, hard as fuck to get into.
No, it's not. It's the hardest Hall of Fame to get into. Bruno Sammartino still hasn't gotten into that Hall of Fame, dude. If he can't get in there, I mean, who can?
We all know why Bruno's not in the WWE Hall of Fame yet. That's not fair.
He wasn't as charismatic as the limo driver, dude. That's all I'm saying.
Well, apparently he wasn't as charismatic as Mil Máscaras, so.
Just because he has a rep for being an asshole? Come on now. I mean, he is an asshole, but come on. How can you say he's not charismatic? He's the most charismatic luchador probably of all time. Or one of them. I don't know why you're doubting that. I mean, I don't see who would be more.
And plus, Mick Foley carried him through an awesome match once on the Clash of the Champions.
Oh, he carried Foley, dude. Foley knows it, dude.
Foley's the one that took that bumper and hit his head on the concrete. That was awesome.
But let's go ahead and let's compare our list we made, and let's say the only ones that would make it is if they get all three votes from all three of us.
Okay.
That way we make it kind of hard. So, you guys want me to run down my 10? And you, Couture, you want to kind of keep track?
Sure.
Okay, well, not in order. These aren't in any order, but I would have gone with the Assassins, Lou Albano, Enrique Torres, Edge, Ivan Koloff, Moolah, Dick Murdoch, Bill Apter, Gene and Oli, and Gorilla Monsoon.
Okay.
You
my rebuttal to that. I will go with Lou Albano, the Rock and Roll Express, Kensuke Sasaki, Gary Hart, Dick Murdoch. Running down my list here. Jim Crockett, Jr. Bill Apter. Owen Hart. Kurt Hennig. How many is that, brother?
I don't know. I thought you had numbered these.
Couture, how many is that?
You were down to Owen Hart, so maybe that's like around 9. I don't know.
We'll give you one more.
Oh, gosh. I already said Edge, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
See,
well, you said you would vote for Edge. You didn't say him right now, though. So I guess we could make him your 10.
Okay, Edge. And in case I need another one, Kendo Nagasaki.
Okay.
Okay.
And Couture?
Let me look at this list. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Okay.
Most not on there.
Okay.
Curly and Larry
Albano. Lou Albano. Rock and Roll Express. Jesse the Body Ventura. Ivan Koloff. Gary Hart. Sting. Jim Crockett Jr. Gorilla Monsoon. Dick Murdoch. How many is that? That's about 7.
That's 9.
Is it? Okay.
Yep.
And Henry DeGlaney.
So who's that in? Who got all 3? Albano?
I was playing. I never heard of that person. I just wanted to say something. No, none of us had ever heard of. So instead, I'll go with Bill Apter.
Okay,
yeah.
So we got Albano, Bill Apter, and Craig, did you say Murdoch?
I said Murdoch.
Okay, and Murdoch.
Yep.
And you didn't say Edge, right, Couture?
No, I didn't say Edge. It just seems like kind of early to be getting in. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it was kind of a toss up between Edge and Sasaki and maybe somebody else, but
maybe feel like you have been to a lot of places. If you have, like, now it seems like everybody's always in one place. You know, Edge has only really ever been in the WWF, so
that's why I say, you know, kind of the criteria is going to have to change a little bit in the future years. But basically, out of 10, we got 3. So, I mean, that's probably about right, you know, as far as there's usually about, you know, 2 or 3 people that make it, you know. And I think we're a little biased towards Bill Apter. So, you know, I can see why other people wouldn't vote for Bill Apter, but I strongly think he should be in there. And,
you know, some of these people I picked when they'd ask me why I picked them, like, why would you pick Gorilla Monsoon? It's because it's Gorilla Monsoon. I don't know.
Right.
Well, he did have a good career. I mean, he had a good career in the WWF, and he did draw money. And then he was, even after his career, you know, he was a commentator, and I know, like, Dave didn't like him, and some people make fun of him, but, you know, when he was talking about patellas and all that other shit, I mean, he was entertaining to me as an announcer. And then just other, you know, backstage, you know, stuff like backstage, I mean, I can see him being a Hall of Famer, and that's just because, you know, he's the gorilla. He actually does have credentials if you really look him up.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, there is that thing we, like you said, it's like you say, why would you vote for someone because it's gorilla? Or why would you vote for Mullah because it's Mullah? And I still think, you know what, this is, to me, the biggest bullshit person that's not in here is Mullah. And I know a lot of people are going to scoff at that because she wasn't like a great worker. To me, she is the most important women's wrestler of all time. More than Mildred Burke, more than Trish Stratus or anyone here, more than fucking Sarah Del Rey or any of the Japanese women. She was the most famous women's wrestler. She trained the majority of the women's wrestlers. She had the power between them booking, doing all that. And people would say, well, she didn't draw. No, she drew because whenever the women or the midgets would go in once in a while, they would actually draw. And they, and that's, and I'm sure you could actually look it up now. If she was in the same territory night after night, I'm sure she would. But I'm sure as an attraction, she did add seats to the show. Maybe not a lot, but I'm sure she did. So
I think Gary Garrett didn't get in because he was part of somebody that helped start TNA. I bet that's why he didn't get in.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, what's more of an outrage? Jerry Jarrett not making the Hall of Fame because of his involvement with TNA, or Carlos Colon for covering up a murder? Because my same argument that I make for Mullah, you have to make for Carlos Colon, with the fact that I'm still not going to vote for the dude, just for the simple fact that I can't bring myself to
that's
do
what's
it.
That's going
to
keep him out.
Yeah. And... you know, I mean, but the dude drew money. And he drew money for fucking 30, 40 years, basically. And yeah, it was just in Puerto Rico, but it's still pretty impressive. You know what I mean? You can compare Puerto Rico to exactly like Memphis. And for anything you can say about Jerry Jarrett, you have to make the same comparison for Carlos Colon. With one exception, Carlos Colon was actually a worker and not just a booker.
I had a problem with, you know, Bruce Mitchell was on Brian's show last night, and he was bad-mouthing the Rock and Roll Express. Why aren't they in the Hall of Fame?
He was bad-mouthing the Rock and Roll Express, but, you know, he was stating his case why they don't deserve to be in there.
Well,
go ahead
and
defend them.
What was he saying? I didn't hear it.
It was basically, you know, they were by the numbers tag team. You know, they didn't draw a lot of money, you know, things like that. I just, I don't know, when he was talking, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I totally believe the Rock and Roll Express should be in there, because if you have people in this area, in this time phase that we have, you know, if you want to be a tag team wrestler, you go and you watch the Rock and Roll Express. You watch Robert Gibson, Ricky Morton, you watch Morton take a beating. The heels get the heat on Morton. They beat the snot out of him. He makes a couple of, you know, attempts at a tag, but the heels cut him off every time. They hit a big, he hits a, out of nowhere, hits a backdrop or something like that. He tags Robert Gibson in. Robert Gibson goes wild. And then you hit the double drop kick and you go home. I just think if you're going to look up, you know, tag team wrestling in the dictionary, there should be a picture of the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, I mean, the Rock and Roll Express, their feud with the Midnight Express kind of revolutionized tag team wrestling in the 80s, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And the Midnight should be in there as well.
I think they are
in there.
Yeah.
Well, and Rock and Roll Express, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they just... it's a big feud in Mid-South. I can't remember if they drew a lot of money or anything, but I had to think that they did draw some money. Same with in Crockett when they were there doing stuff with the Midnight Express. And I don't know, and they were, like, even when they were past their prime, they carried that Smoky Mountain Wrestling from, like, the first day until it went out of business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they should be in.
I To me, they're really close. I mean, y'all made a lot of good points, but at the same time, the Fantastics and the Rockers were a better team overall.
Yeah, but they didn't count as much.
Yeah, I understand that, but I mean, as far as like the working, I mean, Ricky Warren is probably any tag team wrestler might be the best tag team wrestler of all time, but you take the two Fantastics and together they make up for, you know, more than what Robert would bring. So, to me, they're really close. I mean, I had to really think about them when I was making my list. I really did, but they just didn't make the final cut for me. But, I mean, they're one of those teams that it just depends on who's on the, you know, the ballot that year or whatever. I mean, and they're not doing themselves favors like they did last weekend.
Yep.
They're not. I mean, because, you know, that's what Ivan Koloff's done in their court. Because people remember old Ivan Koloff. They remember Uncle Ivan. They don't remember the dude who beat Bruno Sammartino. That's
yeah.
why Dick Murdoch's not in there. Dick Murdoch's not in there because he was a 50-year-old fat guy doing head scissors on WCV and not fucking the Outlaw, you know? You know, unfortunately, that makes a big difference, you know?
I don't know that should make a difference, to be honest with
you. It shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But we're gonna get flooded with hate mail if we don't discuss this one name going for the Hall of Fame, and that is every year the Euros get sand in their vagina when Big Daddy doesn't make the Hall of Fame. And I was getting Facebook things all day long about talking about Big Daddy and talk about why he's not in there. Well, you know why he's not in there? It's because he is too goddamn fat. That's why.
Yeah,
Big Daddy?
I don't even know who Big Daddy is.
I got to be totally honest with you. I have no idea.
We did a show one time and somebody had posted a match between Big Daddy and the Loch Ness from WCW. Mm-hmm. And basically, it was two fat guys who bumped into each other for a couple minutes, and they got blown up in 30 seconds, and they barely moved. And like I say, they just basically bumped into each other. And that was like the whole match. And
one thing I remember about Big Daddy was, in Dynamite Kid's book, he said he sucked.
Well, if Dynamite Kid said he sucked, he probably sucked.
And he probably told
him
to his face.
Yeah, he was just a big dude. He was just super fat, and he was a little charismatic. I don't think he was like super charismatic or even though Dusty Rhodes, I guess the way you could say he's the Carlos Colon of England, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about him, but you know, God, he was horrible, and he was pretty goddamn fat. Maybe if he wasn't so fat, he would have gotten to get more votes.
Did he kill somebody in the ring?
I think that's like the story, but I couldn't tell you offhand what exactly it is.
No idea.
I'm sure somebody will post it on the thread.
So the bottom line on most of these is, if I have never seen them, and I can't really comment on them, so.
Right.
Big Daddy,
well,
I don't
that
know.
There's guys that you can hear enough of, like.
Yeah, I mean, like, I could vote in Lou Thesz, even though I never saw Lou Thesz, you know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of.
Yeah.
Just kind of no brainer.
Yeah.
And the majority of people like that are in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have about 15 minutes of showtime left, and I thought we should talk about the three people that we kind of more or less voted in for ourselves this evening, which are Lou Albano, Dick Murdoch, and Bill Apter, and why we think they should be in.
Well, Bill Apter, I've talked about it before, you know, even with Dave. To me, Bill Apter opened up wrestling in a way, how do I say this? Like, he was It was like the magazines were like the superstation. Basically, they went everywhere. Everyone saw them. You know, I knew what was going on in Portland. I knew what was going on in Memphis. I knew what was going on in Georgia. Whenever somebody came new to Southwest or Wolfpack, I knew who they were. The magazines were almost like an encyclopedia for wrestling in the 80s and the late 70s. And this is just that little short period. I mean, they were there before and after for like a longer period. To me, he's synonymous with the Aster Mags, even though he wasn't the owner. But he did a lot more for wrestling than he has ever given credit for, because, like I say, if the Sheik came to San Antonio, and even though he'd never been on TV or they never shown him before, and he just came from Detroit, I knew who he was. You know, I knew who Exotic Adrian Street was the first time he came to San Antonio.
Right.
You know,
I knew Luger was the first time he showed up on TBS, wanted to be a horseman.
Yeah, thank
yeah.
you. That was my point. I knew who Lex Luger was because of Bill Apter.
Yeah.
Or his mags, you know, his quote-unquote mags.
I mean, if it was anybody else that I'd never heard of that showed up saying they want to be a horseman, I said, who the fuck is this guy? But no, I've been reading like for 2 years about Luger, like in Florida and stuff. And I mean, they put him over huge. Luger was a huge part of his success in his career to Bill Apter in those magazines.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Bill got it easy on this one because he did draw a lot of money.
Yeah.
You buy the magazines, you know. That's drawing money, ain't it? That's easy.
I don't think he's living, you know, the Trump lifestyle or anything like that, but
he certainly isn't, because he was on the AWE pay-per-view the other night, so no, he's not living it up somewhere. Backstage interviews.
Oh, gosh. And, Couture, talk about Dick Murdoch.
Dick Murdoch. I only remember him as the goofy guy doing head scissors in WTBS. No. I really didn't get to see him until that point. But the Texas Outlaws, they were really huge in the AWA. They were like one of the top teams in the world and in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I really never got to see him until it was like, was it WWF with him and Adrian Adonis as the tag team champions or something like that?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
He's just always, another case where I love Dick Murdoch so much that it's just one of those things I think he should be in. And he was a big draw in Japan. And
oh, yeah.
And I always loved
you ever see the,
he had a great look.
You ever see the match he had with Hogan?
No.
The Hogan match from All Japan?
No.
No.
You know what? I'm stupid because I'm thinking of Stan Hansen. Continue.
See that match. That sounds like a dream match.
I'll find it and send it to you. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, I was just going to say, I always loved how Dick Murdoch looked because he had the spindly legs. He's about 6'4". And he had a beer gut. He looked like somebody that'd show up at one of the Couture family reunions. You know, like the alcoholic uncle that only comes out on the weekends or something like that because they're too drunk and good work. Something like that. I always loved that. And he was a tremendous wrestler. I loved watching him wrestle.
Yeah, I've actually seen about 6 or 8 different matches of the Outlaws. And, they were fucking awesome. And, I mean, it's just almost a shock to see, like, a young Dick and a young Dusty because everyone remembers, you know, the old ones. But, I mean, they were great. I mean, Jesus, as a Hill Tag Team, they were just one of the best of all time. And he was a big draw in Japan, that's super draw in Florida. I don't know if he was a draw in WWE, but, you know, him and Adonis were a great tag team. I mean, they had great matches. And
He did some good stuff in Mid-South.
He did some shit here in San Antonio, you know. In Missouri. He had a lot of stuff in Missouri and St. Louis. And it's one of those things where I take a lot of credit when everyone says that Dick Murdoch was just that damn good. And plus he was like, I don't want to say he was Santino because he wasn't doing skits like Santino, but as far as in the 80s when he wanted to be, who would have funnier matches than Dick Murdoch? You know, I mean, he was really good. He could be the clown and have comedy matches, or he could have a fucking brawl, you know, bloody brawl. And he could
He could go out there and go just have a knockdown drag out with a guy, and he could go out there with Ric Flair and wrestle for 60 minutes.
Yeah, when he was 50 years old, he could probably still do 50 minutes and do it easy. You know, he looked like he could, like he probably couldn't go more than two. I mean, he was just, you know, a lot of it comes in. I take a lot of credit into what everyone says, but if you look for it, I mean, he did draw. He was a great worker. I mean, he does meet the criteria. It's just that, unfortunately, I think a lot of people remember the old Dick Murdoch doing his scissors on Saturday Night TV, and, you know, they don't see what he knows.
I love his promos. He did his one promo. He said, I think his adversary, he had turned like on Dusty and Nikita or something, and the fans were calling him a traitor. He said, I'm not a traitor, you're a bunch of draft dodgers. It's like one of the funniest lines I've ever heard. And
him and Dick Slater were an awesome little tag team. You know, it was at a point when WCW didn't have a lot of talent, but I mean, they were pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably my favorite match of his, probably the best match I ever saw him in was he went on, it was like on UWF TV. He went like a 30-minute draw with Barry Windham, an awesome match.
Yeah, and speaking of Mid-South, any man who's brave enough to piss in Bill Watts' pool and get fired for it, that, you know, that deserves a few votes right there.
See, that's hypocritical, you know, and Bill fired him for that. Bill, when he's working at Turner, he'll go piss off his balcony.
Right. Yeah. But you do have something in common, you know, you don't like the darkies like he did. Well, actually, that's the thing. What's the thing? He always pushed the black guys, but he's always making racial jokes and pissing off Hank Aaron. I mean, Hank Aaron got him fired from WCW.
He kind of got the wrong people heard what he said, and probably would never heard what he said until somebody faxed him that interview.
It was Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron told me. I just don't play that with Hank Aaron of all people. It's so random. But, yeah, that's, I don't know. And then who was the third one that we picked?
It was Captain Lou.
Bano. Captain Lou. We talked about the other two. Why don't you talk about Captain Lou? Because you had actually probably seen less of him than we have, Craig.
Probably. I mean, I saw him only on WWE TV or WWF TV at the time. But, Captain Lou was tremendous, and with Captain Lou, you can't not say the name Cyndi Lauper in there. He helped usher in the rock and wrestling connection, and just by happening to sit next to her on a flight somewhere, and
Captain Lou was that's how he got the thing. You know, girls just want to have fun in that video. That Cyndi Lauper on an airplane or something.
Just actually sat next to Cyndi Lauper on an airplane. She recognized him, and they got to talking. The next thing you know, and he's in Girls Just Want to Have Fun as the dad. And like I said, the rock and wrestling connection, mostly because of Captain Lou and his association with Cyndi Lauper. Of course, WrestleMania 2 she showed up, correct? Or was it WrestleMania 1?
WrestleMania 1.
WrestleMania 1, she showed up, and Captain Lou was manager to the Wild Samoans, and wore a rubber band in his face.
I never got that.
Literally, in his face.
My mother used to think he was the most disgusting man who ever lived.
Well, to be fair, she was right. I just never got the rubber band thing. You know, this wasn't some kind of trend I was seeing at the time. You know, and in society with people with rubber bands hanging from their cheeks.
I know, I never got that, but I mean, it made him stand out. It made him stand out. I think it was like Captain Luke is, you know, a lot of people remember, for the most part, that's what, you know, maybe 80% of the people remember is the rock and wrestling thing, but I mean, he was a manager there for a long time. I mean, if you count, you could probably count like 20 tag teams that he had the titles for, and the majority of them he had to do the talking. I mean, he had like the Blackjacks and a few other teams that were real charismatic, but for the most part, it was like the Savages or the Mask Guys or
the
you know, whatever, where he totally had to carry the interviews and stuff. So he did that for years. He was, you know, he was a decent wrestler, and, you know, he had like a lot of longevity. And, you know, since he was the manager of the tag teams, I'm sure that means he drew money. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, his tag team record of managing tag teams is like Ric Flair's 16 world titles. You know, managed like 20 different teams to 22 tag team championships. Also managed Ivan Koloff when he beat Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, a lot of people talk about Bobby Heenan as far as Bobby Heenan taking bumps. You know, I mean, the Albano was almost the same way. I mean, he was like when he managed Snuka, and then he, you know, he had the breakup with Snuka. He would bump and get his ass kicked for Snuka like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he was awesome at getting his ass kicked.
That's
that
an
feud.
Awesome turn. Is that the one where Ray Stevens pile drove him on the concrete or something?
Yeah.
And he was on Super Mario Brothers. The live action TV show. Well, that was terrible.
Yeah, but you know, and he also gets votes just for being Captain Lou, basically. Yeah.
True,
I mean,
yeah.
Oh, we got
I remember
this.
When
hey,
he took George Steele
out
for electric shock therapy to make him smart on TNT. Like, they put the little thing on his head, and I think the doctor's name was Dr. Sigmund Ziff or something like that. And he's turning up the juice. And then they turn it off and say, George, how do you feel? And he says, how now, brown cow? And then he kept doing it, and they finally just put a little bit too much juice behind it, and George flipped out, and Lou Albano called the doctor a quack, and they left the office. That's the show
I remember
on the WWE Network. I was going to say, they should bring back for the WWE Network TNT. Like a late night talk show. That'd be awesome. Yeah,
that'd be cool. Vince has to be the host of it, too. But I was going to say, that brought back a memory. Like, before the WWE or WWF was on, well, real quick, everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com. And along with a lot of other shows, like the Angry Marks show, who I believe they had Rob Conway and Funaki on yesterday, who are going to be having a pay-per-view live here in San Antonio tomorrow, which I think I will be attending, and I'll talk about that next week. I think they're going to have Rob Conway, Funaki, Matt Bentley, I think Carlito, and believe it or not, the Boogeyman, so, and not Jimmy Valiant, so. I possibly will be going there. So everyone check out Angry Marks show, and everyone check out our show on AngryMarks.com. But anyway,
yeah,
I was
thanks
about
for
to
listening
to
all the shows at Angry Marks. Just don't try to copy and paste the links.
Right.
It's like it's so hard for you to do it. I mean, why can't you do it? That's not big of a deal.
Because your name's on the show. Anyway.
Well, anyway, back to my memory, that if I can finally get to my memory before I forget it for being too strong.
You'll forget your memory before too long.
Well, before the WWF was on the USA Network in the early days of cable, they came out on our cable system. We got a channel out of New York, and they used to show, that's where I would first see the WWF. And this was like years before All-American Wrestling. This is back when he was still champion. And the very first time I ever saw George Animal Steel was they brought him in to do an interview. with Albano, and Albano actually let George cut the interview. And I think it was a 5-minute interview, and I think he managed to say Madison Square Garden, but it took him like 3 minutes to say it. And then he said Big Apple. And I just never forget that interview. It just, that's, for me, that's always stuck in my mind. But
did anybody have Mine as a doll? Remember Mine?
No. I didn't have one, but I remember Mine with the bald head and the green tongue.
Hey, and George Steele, he's one of those few guys in wrestling that was actually pretty decent in a movie when he was in Ed Wood.
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen that. I should look into checking that out.
Yeah, check it out on Netflix. I think it's on there.
Okay. Well, one guy I do want we should talk about before we go, because he's, to me, he's borderline, and I'm actually surprised we picked Gorilla over him. But Jesse Ventura. But I think a lot of the stuff you kind of think with Jesse Ventura is stuff he did out of wrestling, so I guess I can see why he hasn't been voted in.
He was pretty
big
outside of wrestling.
Yeah. And it depends on how you look at it as far as, you know, breaking out of wrestling. I mean, how much is, I guess it's not really a category, but I mean, he did have a pretty decent, you know, I mean, he was never the star, but let's be honest, he was awesome in Predator, and he was awesome in Running Man, and he was awesome in Demolition. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's just one of those dudes. I mean, and then as for him being the first real heel commentary, I mean, he was one of the best. I mean, him and Gorilla were awesome, and him and JR are probably my favorite team ever, you know. And
not so much anything he did in the ring as well, I would vote for him, because really the only thing to note that I saw, like, from him as an actual wrestler was when he came with Adrian Adonis in the AWA.
And that was all Adonis. I mean, he was just there to pose and do the interviews. And, I mean, he had a great look.
He was a perfect partner for a guy like Ventura, you know, because he could take on the bump and all that stuff.
They were such an awesome tag team, dude. I mean, they were fucking awesome. I mean, they were really, really great, dude. And then, you know, he was a great interviewer. I mean, but like I say, like, as far as him himself in the ring, it was horrible, but. You know, I mean, his announcing is, I mean, to me, he's one of those guys that I really had to think about, you know, and he just barely missed my list.
I always liked Ventura as a commentator because he wasn't so, like, I love Bobby Heenan, but one of the things I didn't like is he was too biased against everybody, I think, at times, to where it just got to be kind of, like, ridiculous or something. And Ventura, he was a heel commentator, but he could also put over the baby face if they did something good. So,
yeah, that is true. That is true. He was really good at that. And just
he was
for being a crazy maniac and became governor and shit. I mean, it depends. It's like they're making a thing about Brock and the one Sakuraba is like, do you consider their MMA part of wrestling? Well, if you're going to consider their MMA part of wrestling, don't you have to look at Ventura's movies and political stuff as part of wrestling, too? So, if you do that,
good
then
question.
He's in. If you do, he's in. If not, then he's borderline.
Well,
you know what? Actually, put him right behind The Rock when it comes to movies.
He ain't got time to bleed.
That's right. That's one of the greatest lines of all time.
And he was awesome in that movie, jeez. I cried when he died. But anyway, we'll go ahead and start to wrap up. Craig, you got anything you want to talk about real quick?
I actually have a request. I know we have listeners from probably 5 or 6 states, if not more.
Continents.
I'm looking for beer.
You too?
Yeah. Not to drink, though. There's an ale out. It's called Faithful Ale, and it's got the Pearl Jam 20 logo on it. It's a limited edition beer, and I need one for my collection. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get one. So if you happen to be in a store and you see this Pearl Jam 20 Faithful Ale, please buy one, and I will reimburse you for your time and your postage and the bottle of beer. And I would like two, if possible. So those of you listening from, you know, different parts of the country, keep your eye out for Faithful Ale, and it'll have the Pearl Jam 20 logo on it, and it's a limited run. It's by Dogfish Breweries out of, I want to say it's out of, where are the Briscoes from? Delaware.
Oklahoma?
Yeah, Delaware. So, keep your eye out for it, and if you happen to find one, let me know, and I'll take care of you. I would very much appreciate it. I need one for my shrine.
Do you want to throw out your Amazon wish list while you're at it?
I'm willing to actually pay for these things, not like the girls from TNA Wrestling, where they, please buy me these UGG boots. They would look cute on me.
There are days where on Facebook you'll see about 5 or 6 wish lists pop up.
And hey, if you can get somebody to send you shit for free, why not? It's strange,
hey,
but
all the
maybe not a moral thing to do, but whatever.
Anyway.
Then he has like about a group of 50 Jews that would probably commit murder for her ass.
Yeah, the one... Who's the girl that's supposed to be from Seattle, but she's not really from Seattle, from TNA? Madison Rain.
Mm-hmm.
You can find her wish list on Amazon, and it's ridiculous. And I've seen her thank people for picking things up for her.
Yeah, see, that's just being a putz right there.
Yeah, I hear
you. Oh, well. It's him there. Hey, if it works for him, it works for him. All the power to him. I mean,
I guess so.
Yeah. Katrina, anything you want to talk about?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't have anything for next week yet, but I've been in contact with a couple of guys, one of whom has not gotten back to me yet, and so hopefully we'll have a guest on next week.
They said to do the show next week. We just gotta work out a good date, so we might.
Oh,
if we might actually change the day of the show, but I'll let you guys know at least a day or two ahead of time if we have to. But
well,
it looks like
we
should have Dave on sometime for sure.
Cool. All right.
Since Craig ran us down and was unable to secure the midget for the show tonight.
He was doing a jiu-jitsu class and couldn't make the show tonight, so therefore I'm not coming to his pumpkin party tomorrow. So,
hey, are you guys getting the Sean and Brett DVD next week?
Yeah, heck yeah.
I could. How about one of you guys burn it and send it to me?
Oh Christ,
that would be illegal.
Well, I'm actually not asking. I'm actually just throwing that out so somebody else listening will hear it and send me an illegal copy, because we know there's someone out there who doesn't have morals and stuff about when it comes to bootlegging stuff.
Go put it on your Amazon wish list and post it on your Facebook.
Yeah, see how that works.
I just
worked.
Put it up. Make my own Facebook list and put it on. But,
oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see it. I just don't know if I'll be able to pick it up by next week.
And by the way, I don't know if they'll get this, but big happy birthdays to Bill Apter and also the Hollis.
Is the Hollis' birthday today?
Yes.
It doesn't say on my Facebook thing.
It's his birthday. Trust me.
Okay, well. Happy birthday, Hollis. Get your bitch ass to Vegas next year.
Okay, let's wrap this up. This is getting silly.
Yeah, I got shit to do.
Yeah.
What do you have to do, seriously? Now?
Well, I went and bought me some fried chicken at Walmart, and I'm fixing to go eat me some.
Sweet.
I've been on the diet, so fried chicken sounds pretty goddamn awesome to me right now.
And the fried chicken at Walmart is awesome because when you bite into it, sometimes, you know, you hit one of those grease pockets that shoot in your mouth. It's like an orgasm. Don't say you hadn't experienced that before.
I was going to say I've had it hit me on the cheek once or twice, but never directly in the mouth. But I'll leave it at that, so as to not sully my name.
Yeah, I can't top that. So I can't top that, but it's the same music.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man good shit! Let's go hook him up! Tonight.